Okay, our sermon title again is Broken. And the scripture reading is from 1 John 5 and verse 7. And it reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Now, in light of this quarter's lesson on family seasons, the theme for today's sermon, as we look at the family, the unity of the Godhead, our theme today is one purpose. There was a woman, a very wealthy woman. Her house was bedecked with furniture and artifacts and paintings, even some paintings by the great ones, the masters, as they called them. Being a woman of such wealth, she was able to buy the best china, furniture, ornaments, tables, and tableware. But there was this particular vase in the center of her house. It was kept in a special glass case with a light shining on it. Her friends and neighbors never quite understood why this vase has such a special spot, because she had so many other more expensive possessions to display. But her family knew why. Her family knew why. One day she decided to hire a special cleaning company to come in and spruce things up, clean things up, and so forth. And so she brought them in and she left to run her errands. And she left the men specific instructions. When she returned, she found the supervisor of the cleaners crouching, pale and trembling. There was this open case where the vase was kept, and the remnants of the vase were all over the floor, and a few other remnants in a box that they had collected. The supervisor immediately apologized, saying that the worker who had broken it had been sacked, and he begged her not to sue them. "Was it insured?" he asked. He couldn't help but notice that as he expressed his dismay, the lady was not paying any attention. She was already on her knees, collecting the pieces of this vase. And now the supervisor and his staff are watching as this woman, this well-dressed, astute woman, is on the floor, on her knees, gathering the pieces of this vase, tears streaming down her face. One sharp piece she picked up and didn't even notice that it had pierced her and that blood was coming from her finger. Searching and feeling, and then she turned to them and said, "Where is the vacuum cleaner?" And she had them bring the vacuum cleaner, and she emptied it out and now was rummaging through the dust and dirt of the bag in the vacuum cleaner, trying to find shards, fragments, and pieces of this vase. She told him, "Don't worry, I'm not going to sue you. I never insured it. I could never put a value on it. Me and my father and my brother made this vase." The rest of the workers couldn't bear it. They had left the room, and the supervisor turned one more time and looked. And as he walked out of the room, there she was, on her knees. And then he said to himself, "She's going to put that back together." And he walked out. We'll finish the story at the end of the sermon. We will now go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And the context is, Jesus had come home. His ministry had been launched. Many good things have been heard about him. And this young preacher is about to present the word for that day. In the book Spirit of Prophecy, volume 2, page 110, it tells us that Jesus rose calmly, Jesus rose with calm dignity and requested them to bring him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And so it is at his request that he is given the book of Isaiah. He receives the word and reads and expounds on it. The passage he read was Isaiah 61 and verse 1. I'm in Luke 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Key words in this passage: broken, bruised. Power words in this passage. Descriptive in nature, they reveal God's estimation not only of man's condition, but of man's need. You see, we are a broken race and a bruised people. You see, Lowestoft, we are the bars, and we have been shattered, and some of us have been scattered, and some of us, we cannot find all the pieces of us that we've left in trouble and in sin. Somebody needs to pick me up and put me back together. Somebody needs to care enough that I am broken. In this verse, Jesus is acknowledging the indifference that sin has to a man's value. You see, sin, much like a bull in a china shop, or rather like a cleaning person in the house, has not maybe with planned intent, but without a sense of valuing, has bumped us and knocked us over, and broken us, and bruised us, and trampled on us, and left us bleeding and sorrowing. And what bothers me today is that I know that every Sabbath throughout the world, in God's church, when we come to church, somebody is sitting in the congregation, bruised and broken, barely here. Body's here, mind is not here. That may be you today. You see, there are people who, because of family relationships, and because of traumas in life, and because of things that happened to you when you were young and you had no control, and the people around you don't quite understand why you're not quite together. They don't understand why you don't think clearly, why you don't speak clearly. They don't understand why your emotions maybe are all over the place. They don't understand maybe that certain things went on when you were a child that weren't exactly pleasant. They don't know that maybe you saw your mother and your father arguing for years. They don't know maybe that you were not called nice and uplifting things. They don't know maybe that, like myself, you were bullied throughout most of your childhood. They do not know that when they see you on Sabbath morning, looking smart, looking fresh, and fixed up, but they do not know that you are broken and that you are bruised. And yet I hear the voice of my Savior, and I hear the voice of your Savior, standing in church one Sabbath. Why are you here, Lord? Here's why I'm here. I'm here to deal with the broken and the scattered. But what you did not notice, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do that. The Spirit of the Lord, church. You see, Satan not only wants to bruise you and break you, he wants to shatter you. A divorce, maybe, from that person that you thought was the right one, shattered. A friendship that you thought was the friendship, and then you find out that the person was being dishonest with you and just used you, shattered. The illness, maybe, you never knew you had, and then suddenly you're diagnosed, and the lives of you and your spouse are turned upside down, shattered. Or you find out that there's some skeleton in the closet that's been hidden from you for years. And so that person you live with, that spouse, that son, that daughter, is hardly recognizable to you anymore. Shattered. Or you find out that the church you joined is actually full of sinners and not saints. And you were naive enough to come to the Seventh-day Adventist church, thinking that everybody in here has wings on their backs. Only to find out sometimes that what the members say and actually do does not always tally up. Shattered. And so you become cold. Maybe you become indifferent. And you become cynical about the church. And so Satan, understanding that his greatest weapon is stepping on us, just keeps on pushing and pushing. He doesn't care that you don't understand his tricks. He just wants you to be blinded by his tricks. And he does not want you to know that your brokenness is God's speciality. My brothers and sisters of Lowestoft Church, you cannot be broken more than he can fix. You cannot be shattered more than he can gather. And you've got to believe that, brothers and sisters. And so, the external deformities and the diseases and the infirmities that we have are small compared to the inner traumas that we bear. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, church, the Spirit of the Lord was waiting with anxious hopefulness for the coming of Jesus. Let me explain it. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Jesus was the forerunner of the Holy Spirit. That's why he not only came upon Mary in Luke 1:35, where it attests that the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, shall overshadow thee. The Holy Spirit knew that Jesus only had 33 years and that the rest was going to be on him. And so when Jesus showed up, the Holy Ghost was right there with him, all the way, because he knew that if he helped Jesus to do a good job, then the way for him would be made clear. And so it was no accident that Jesus chose that verse to read in Isaiah. The Holy Spirit helped him to choose it. He knew that when that verse was written through Isaiah, he knew that when he gave that verse to Isaiah, that one day Jesus would read it. And he wanted people to know that it isn't just Jesus that is helping the bruised and that is healing the broken. He wanted to announce that I am the one who also does that. You see, church, Jesus is limited. He's now in human form. But the Holy Ghost wants you to know that he is everywhere at once. And so when somebody is broken in, let's say, Timbuktu, he can fix somebody at the same time he fixes somebody in Lowestoft Church. At the same time he can fix somebody in Africa, he can fix somebody in Peru. He wants you to know that I am not limited. I can fix, I can heal at the same time, everybody at once, if that is what's required. The Holy Spirit had to hold himself back so that he did not rush Jesus off his planet. He wanted to get busy. He knew that Christ would set the stage, but he knew that he would be the one who would talk to Dean at night, who would talk to Trisha at night, who would talk to Brother Luca at night, who would talk to Brother Mark at night. He knew that he would be the one to talk to all of you at night at the same time, and he can carry on 55 different conversations saying to each and every person what they need to hear. And why? Because he is the one that gathers up the pieces and puts people back together. The Spirit of God breathed on Jesus. Acts of the Apostles, page 37 says, during the patriarchal age, the influence of the Holy Spirit had often been revealed in a marked manner, but never in its fullness. Now, this statement makes me feel good right now. Because I know I live in the era when the Holy Ghost is really showing off. I live in that time when this immeasurable person, unlike any of the Godhead, who has this universal presence and power, is now made manifest. And all I need to do is increase my capacity. Desire Ages, page 672 says, only to those who wait humbly upon God, who watch for his guidance and grace, is the Spirit given. The power of God awaits their demand and reception. This promised blessing, claimed by faith, brings all other blessings in its train. It is given according to the riches of the grace of Christ, and he is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive it. You see, sometimes the reason why we are broken is because we are cumbered with the cares of this life. Material things, monetary matters, family matters, health issues, worries about the unexpected. The very same things that Jesus tells us not to worry about in Matthew 6, we worry about. Yet we also read, this promised blessing, claimed by faith, brings all other blessings in its train. Acts of the Apostles, page 50. If all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual depletion, and death. Now we learn that all I need to ask God for is willingness to receive, because he's ready. And he showed in one swoop what he can do. He dropped down on 12 ignorant men and had them speaking with fluency languages which they had heretofore been unacquainted with. This, brothers and sisters, is the kind of power that is available to the church. He can take folks without PhDs and make them lingual specialists in one moment, dropping down like flames of fire, empowering people. This is the Holy Ghost. And he declared, I'm here with Jesus. I've anointed him. And so when Jesus healed, that's the Holy Ghost. When Jesus preached, that's the Holy Ghost. When Jesus raised folks from the dead, that's the Holy Ghost. Why? He had anointed Jesus, and he wanted us to know that what Jesus did through me, you can do through me. He declared to the apostles, greater works than these shall ye do. And so that raises the question, how come we as a church body, are not doing those greater works? We read it earlier, where the Spirit is little thought of and discussed or prayed for. Let me put it to us like this. When was the last time that when we got on our knees and we did not pray for the bills, we did not pray for bread, that is food, did not pray for the car to start, did not pray for the marriage, did not pray for maybe the degree or some form of education, did not pray for healing? All perfectly good prayers, do not get me wrong. But when was the last time we got up on our knees and spent an hour just asking to be filled with power? I compare it to being hungry. Sister Campbell will tell you that I like to eat. I like food. Typically, on a Sabbath morning, I do not eat breakfast. so I can keep a clear head, clear mind for preaching and for worship, to receive the word. But after a 2 to 3 hour drive, depending on where we're preaching, and then the different acts of worship that take place on the Sabbath, and then to get up and preach for 30 to 40 minutes, after all that, I'm hungry. And when I go to some churches, and then you stand in the foyer after church, not this church by the way, and you shake people's hands, there is always that one person who wants to tell you their whole life story based on the sermon that I just preached. And yet I'm a minister. I'm not just here to preach, but I'm here to mingle with like-minded people. So I'll shake their hands and I'll be real nice. Glad you came and so forth. Glad you enjoyed the sermon. But all I want to do is walk back down the aisle, pray with my wife, and then eat. Here's my point. When you want to eat, you get focused. Get me some food. Why? Listen to me, church. Because it's important. And so the point I'm making is, when something is important, like seeking our need for the Holy Ghost, we do not let anything get in the way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he declared. Jesus understood the nature of his ministry. He had revealed the Father, and now the Spirit would reveal them both to humanity. John 14 and verse 16. We need to understand the personhood of the Spirit of God. And so Jesus, like only he can, with language that's specific and eloquent and pointed, defines the Spirit in one text. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now what's coming next, church, is really good. Pay attention. Another comforter, that is, another helper. There are two words in the Greek for another. One is heteros. Heteros is explained like this. You give me an oatmeal cookie, and I say I want another oatmeal cookie. And you hand me a raisin cookie. You just did heteros. But if I've just had a delicious oatmeal cookie, and I say I want another cookie, and you allos me, it means you've given me another oatmeal cookie. In that verse, I'll explain more. In that verse, John 14, 16, is the word allos. What Jesus is saying is, you disciples don't need to worry. I'm sending you another God, but of the same kind. Powerful like me, creating like me, loving like me, gentle like me, caring like me. I'm not just going to send any God. I'm going to send a God who's just like me. But I'm going to send him with advantages, not limited in space like me. Jesus petitioned the Father to send one who was like him to remain with the disciples, not temporarily as he remained, but forever. Everywhere at once, as I cannot be. I'm going to send you another one, just like me, but even better than me. Think about it, church, for a minute. Think about the sacrifice of Jesus. For him to give up omnipresence, not omnipotence, meaning all powerful, he's still got that. Not omniscience, meaning all knowing, he's still got that. But omnipresence, to be present everywhere at once. He gave it up so that it could be like us forever. But he sent someone who in spirit and in character was just like him, his friend, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for this great gift. And so this word is powerful. And then the word for comforter, we looked at the word for another, the word for comforter is the word paraclete. It is from the Greek word parakletos, a word used in scripture only by John 5 times. It is made up of the preposition para, meaning beside, and the adjective kletos, meaning called or one called. The literal meaning of comforter is one called to the side of. There is only one other person in the Bible with whom the word paraclete is used. When the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the word advocate is the same word as the word paraclete. And so the word to the comforter and the Holy Spirit, paraclete. The advocate, Jesus, paraclete, another of the same kind. Lowestoft Seventh-day Adventist Church, you do not lose anything when you get the Holy Ghost. With him, you have everything you need. You see, this is why the three are one. You don't need to divide the Father from the Son, from the Spirit, or bring the same thing. But the Spirit's assignment is to bring this world to conversion. And the Spirit has the ability to do that. And the thing about it is not only is he converting the world, he's also saving and preserving the world. Because without his presence, human beings would go mad. Look at this from Great Controversy, page 610. But so long as Jesus remains man's intercessor in the sanctuary above, the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit is felt by rulers and people. It still controls to some extent the laws of the land. Were it not for these laws that the Holy Spirit is controlling, were it not for these laws, the condition of the world would be much worse than it now is. It's hard to even imagine that. While many of our rulers are active agents of Satan, God also has his agents among the leading men of the nation. And so it is through the Holy Spirit that God keeps things happening the way things ought to be and makes things happen the way they ought to happen. It's not Trump, it's not May, it's not Putin, it's not Kim Jong-un, that says what will be and when things will take place. God is in control. It's about 10 years later, and a young man who had a cleaning business was driving through the streets trying to find new customers. He had bought his business from his boss, and as he turns down this one street with eloquent poems, he starts recognizing the street. I think I've been here before. And then his mind starts going back. And as he turns a corner, ah, yes, that's the house. You see, he's the young man who was the supervisor 10 years before when the bars was broken. He has now bought out the owner. He couldn't resist. So he goes up and he knocks on the door. Surely enough, the lady comes, still looking elegant, still looking just fine, and he says, "Madam, do you remember me?" Without batting an eyelid, she said, "Follow me. But remember, it's been 10 years. In the room, there's the glass case. There's the vase. He said, "This is impossible." And as he looked closely, he could see there were little spots and so forth, but it was basically the boss. He was speechless. She said, the vase was made by my father, myself, and my brother. He said, you put this back together? She said, oh no. She said, it took three to make it. It will take three to remake. We worked together until it was fixed. But how long, he asked. She said, when you're fixing something you love, you don't count days and hours. We just fix it. And that's me, Lowestoft Church. That's me. Strewn all over the place. Messed up. Broken, bruised, and shattered. If you recall, in her search for the broken pieces, she had inadvertently cut herself and bled. He had to pierce his hands and feet and side. He bled to fix me. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost did not stop until all the pieces were back together. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three fix vases together. Amen.
Drift so far away from you.